Okay, today is Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. The time now is 5:15. This is a regular board meeting. All board members are present. I'm going to call this meeting to order, and we'll start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Speedy over there.
I know. Holy cow, that was the fastest you've ever done that.
What does she have going on at this meeting?
Item B, adoption of the agenda.
I'll move to adopt the agenda for the meeting on August 9th.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.
Did you want to vote?
Sorry.
You got the, you did the pledge in 12 seconds, and it took you 4 minutes to vote. I'm just worried about you. All right.
All right, number two, call to the public.
Anybody?
Nope.
Not.
Number three, consent agenda, approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting of July 13, 2022.
I have nothing.
I have no changes.
None.
I'll move to approve the minutes of the meeting of July 13.
We've got to do the consent.
Oh, consent, yeah. I can never get used to that. We've never done that before.
B and C, presentation of the July financial report and the July vouchers.
Yes, now that one pager in front of you, we start off our first expense voucher paying all the big stuff. Our liability insurance, our first payment on health insurance, and software support for our power school and our financial software. And just those four things alone is $121,000. Out of 129, so you can see where the bulk of that is coming out right away on the first voucher of the year. Those are just yearly expenses that have to be done, so we have support on our software and our first health insurance payment, and then the yearly amount for our liability property insurance for the year. All the other items seem to be pretty typical, normal items, unless something jumps out at you. On the payroll side, the first voucher was just for 12-month people for their first 2 weeks. And then on the 22nd, we got a few more people into work. So that went up a little bit more. So that's the difference in those two payroll vouchers. Any questions?
I do not.
Nothing.
Bree says SME when it comes to this stuff. Hmm. Bree says the SME when it comes to this stuff.
Oh.
Not it?
Okay. I'm fine.
Okay. Moving on to D, approve the two surplus items.
All right. And the biggest thing different than I always bring to you guys, we do have some more computers and stuff that we old things that we need to get rid of, and then we've got these a bunch of old VHS tapes. We have about, I want to say, five boxes of them, and they're all we just don't really have VHS players anymore. We put them out for the teachers last year and had them out at the beginning of the year, and we still have some on cart here. Some of them are training things, some of them are just movies, some of them are old documentaries, some of them are stuff that was probably around when some of you guys that are younger were in elementary and middle school. They've been around a long time. So we've offered them to libraries, and we can't find anybody that wants them.
Did Queen Library?
We did, and we gave them quite a few books and different things like that, but they did not want the old VHSs. Yeah.
Is there anything from the school? Like any recordings of the school?
As far as kids or anything like that? No, nothing. There were none from the classrooms or any of that kind of stuff. It's just all
like educational based?
Yes, I mean, stuff that they bought for classrooms, or like, Davy Crockett and some of that, and then science things, and then a lot of those kind of documentary science type stuff. Nothing that's I don't know. I looked through it. I mean, I thought some of it would have been nice, but I don't even have a VHS player anymore, so I didn't think there was. So we tried to give them away in Bisbee and in Douglas, and nobody wanted them. So they're just sitting here. So, I mean, I wouldn't. Maybe we set them out when the parents come and that parent conference
have
thing.
Have a free box.
Let them sit. Well, just lay them out on all the tables, and then whatever's left, we get rid of after that. Mm-hmm. Kind of like we did with, we did that with the books, and then we gave them to the libraries after that. So, I mean, I'm okay with doing that. It's just that whole closet is pretty much full right now. And
yeah.
I mean, it's just stuff that we haven't used long before I got here.
Okay.
All right.
E is approved the list of the substitute teachers.
Right. So the three teachers that are on the list, Anna Pico is a veteran kindergarten first grade teacher. She teaches up in Bisbee. She's only available on Fridays, but asked if we needed somebody that she would be available to sub on Friday. Zaida Contreras is the person we were able to get in to cover that social studies long term for Mr. Ballesteros. Actually a social studies person. And so I'm hoping you'll approve her so that she's okay. And then I am not sure how to say Mr. Cold's name. I believe it's John, but it could be Jan. I have not done the background checks on the first and last of them. I did into Ms. Contreras because we had actually interviewed her for a different position. So, and then she decided she withdrew her name from that position. So I had checked her out, but the other two I haven't done anything on. I wanted to.
Well, who withdrew?
Oh, from a previous opening, Ms. Contreras,
okay,
something else because of some, not anything with our job, something with her personal life. So, So she's actually done a very nice job down there with the junior high social studies so far. So, but I will check both of them and then make sure they have their fingerprint cards if the other two are all right with you. Mm-hmm. I always like to ask because if there's anything that I need to look into, somebody usually lets me know. So.
F is the approval of the return to learning plan.
All right, so if you will look in the plan or in your packet, there's a 4-page document. This is the same thing that we have had in place for almost 2 years now, I think, a year and a half, close to 2 years. It really hasn't changed except if there's a date in there, that's about it. It was revised in February 2020 and now again in September 1st. It will be revised again. This will actually be the revision that will go into effect in September. We just need to bring it to you so you know it's the same thing. There's no mandatory masks. We don't have any of those policies. We got rid of all those policies, if you remember last year, with ASBA came back with the different policies, so they're all out. So there's really nothing new in here, but we're basically to bring it to the board to let you know that it's in place. It's filed with the state. They put it on their website. So anybody that wants to see what ours looks like, it's pretty much probably like everybody else's, but
subject to change, obviously. Okay.
Right. And then one of the no's is a small no with little letters, and all the others are big no's, so I guess I should have probably done that better. You know, me and my typing skills would go back about 4 years on that. So. Okay. But other than that, it's pretty much just following the law and following the county, what they recommend us to do. Mm-hmm. So we've been seeing a surge of COVID again. Had a few staff members last week and only one this week. Mm-hmm. So we've got some kids out with some different diseases, whether it's flu or COVID or whatever, but we've been averaging.
Is he John?
No, he's
oh, it's a different call coming in.
Oh, okay. That might be about our teacher coming in from the Philippines.
You don't answer it?
She knows. she's helping him with
So do you want to answer it?
No, that's all right. I'll call her after the meeting. No big deal. Can you still hear us, Ms. Romero?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. Just making sure.
Moving on to G, approve the list of substitute custodians.
We only have one, Daniel Estrada. He worked this summer, and now he's completing his GED, and so he's been available. We've had a couple of days already where we've been short custodians. We usually haven't subbed because we haven't had a sub. So he came up and asked if we ever needed a sub, if he were available, and since he had already worked for us, we had him work a couple of 3-hour shifts for us to cover when we had when our head custodian was out with COVID. The other custodians kind of picked everything else up, but he came in and helped do some cleaning. So since we've never had a sub custodian list, I'd like to start one so we have one available. So if we need somebody and they're out, that we can cover without trying to, you know, have people do their to double duty, and he comes in and he works for minimum wage and works out pretty good. He does a pretty good job. So,
H, reaffirm the pay for substitute teachers at a daily rate of $105 per day.
Yep, we passed that last year, and we set the sub rate pay at $145 when they do the long-term subbing. I just wanted to reaffirm that because we had done it, and I actually had some people who didn't know how much we were paying, so I figured it would be good to have it in our minutes so they saw it again.
Mm-hmm. So. I approve the resignation of America Barraza as a paraprofessional.
Yeah, she came to us. She's going to be a teacher, and she'll be a very good teacher. Last year it worked out, and she was able to take late afternoon and evening classes, but this year every one of her classes were during the day. And so they were all in the morning, so we lost a good para, but hopefully we'll be able to get her back as a teacher in a couple of years. So.
Yeah, and thank her for her service, for sure.
I will. She was very good. It just didn't work out this year, unfortunately, but who knows, maybe next year. You know, sometimes the years and where you're going to school, the schedule changes, so.
How much longer does she have?
She's in her second year right now, so if she can get into one of the advanced programs, she might have about a year and a half left or so after this year.
Jay's approved the list of volunteers for the upcoming school year.
Yeah, and I just have two. I have Mr. Mike Demenay and artist Judy Perry. Ms. Campos has reached out to Judy Perry to come in and work, and my first grade teacher, Callie, has suggested that she may be able to get her husband to do some work around the school for free, and she says he's fairly handy. She and her mother had words about that, but anyway, it was an interesting day. But and then Judy has been an artist around Bisbee for I think about 40 years or more, and so Ms. Campos is working with her art class, and she wants to do some different mural things, and so she wanted to make sure that it was okay to bring her on campus so that she could help with the kids and talk about different things with art.
Did Judy have like a history with our school? And in fact, one of our old board members, Foy, she hired Judy Perry to do an artistic drawing and coloration, the way that Judy does them, of the school.
Oh.
And so she did them, and we sold postcards. And
okay, I bet that's the postcard that we
right.
Have,
that's
we
Judy did
some.
That.
Okay.
And then Judy is very community oriented. In fact, that's who I was renting space from it. Some point when I was doing my classes.
Oh, okay.
So she's very committed, you know, community oriented person and really sweet.
Well, and Julie said that she was very interested in coming down and helping the kids, and
yeah, I bet
so so that was, I thought that was great to get an artist to come in and then not only help with the mural but maybe give some other insights on art to kids that are interested in that.
And she's very calm and a serene person. So she's
we'll
not
put her
a handful.
In class with the sixth graders for a while. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see how she does. It's a good test for Judy.
Yeah. So it'll be good. But yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I thought that was nice, another way to kind of get some more people from the community involved. So, and it's nice to be able to get some volunteers again, because it's been a long time since we've been able to find people that wanted to do that. So.
And she's in demand, so that's great.
So, I don't have anything else on the consent agenda for you.
All motion to approve the consent agenda.
A through J. All second.
All right.
Second that.
Don, second.
Oh, aye.
Aye.
Three ayes.
Three ayes, got it.
And Mr. Ramos motioned.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Moving on to action items. A, presentation, discussion, and vote on approving Mike Hernandez as the athletic director.
And then there's two more points to the same one down there. Mike Hernandez as a cross-country coach, and then Aaron Rhodes as volleyball coach.
Okay.
So but these brief. Action items, are going to do these individually since they're not consent, right?
Well, it's the same topic.
I put them all in the same one. If you want to pull one out or you want to talk about them before we vote, we can.
Okay.
I just didn't. They were the coaches last year, so I didn't figure it was too much of an issue. I figured otherwise I would have put three action items down. I can always do that if you guys would
rather. Oh, no, that's fine. That's good.
I just figured I knew Barisa would probably want to get out of here, but since she's on the road anyway, you know, it didn't matter.
Okay. Good. Sounds good. Nothing new there.
I'll motion to approve Mike Hernandez as the athletic director, Mike Hernandez as the cross-country coach, and Aaron Rhodes as the volleyball coach.
I'll second.
All right.
Aye.
B, presentation discussion regarding approving a change to Christine Guadin.
I can't even pronounce Christine's last name, but I think it's
Guanin.
I don't know. Donna, you want to take a shot at it? I call her Miss G, but anyway.
Let's call her Christine.
Know. Call her Miss D. I call her Chris most of the time. She was the one where we had her coming last year for a few days from the collaborative, and then we hired her ourselves outright because it was actually cheaper to hire her than to keep paying them to buy days. And then when our other special ed teacher left, we only have her hired part-time as of now. So we're extending this to a full-time, but then instead of buying someone else from the collaborative, which we've been doing for the last 3 years. We've been buying about $28,800 worth of people from the collaborative each year. This year, we're not going to do that. Instead of that, we would rather pay her on a 9/8 contract so she does all of the paperwork on her own instead of bringing somebody else in because she's been very good with the paperwork. So what that means is it will cost the district about $5,400. Versus $28,000. So we save about $23,400 almost in doing it that way. And generally speaking with special ed and how our files are in need, and we have our big state audit next year, and I know she's been working for the last year on fixing all the files, so those are pretty much cleaned up. Now it's just a matter of with all the new people that we've got going through being tested and things to make sure those are all cleaned up and written correctly. And then the second part of that was to include the same type of deal with Mr. Rodriguez's contract, and then he had all these side contracts. And so instead of doing that, what we're going to do is change his job code to include webmaster and then put all of that together on the contract so there's one contract. Because otherwise Donna has like two or three separate little deals with everybody. And if it's not a coaching or a special assignment like a yearbook that is outside of the normal realm of duty, a technology coordinator should be in charge of the web. We wouldn't put the business manager in charge of our web page or anything. You know, it's logical. So when you tie those together, it's just easier for the business end of things to do that. So that's really, they were tied together. They were very similar. We just basically rewrote how it was and restructured those contracts so that they worked. And they're covered under their job descriptions.
And he's still taking care of our keeping everything up to date, agendas and so forth on the
online. He does everything online. He does the Facebook, and then Victor helps him, of course. I mean,
right.
they kind of interchange that. But
okay.
Can we make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to accept item B pertaining to the Guinean and Mr. Rodriguez's contract.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 Action item C, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approving summer school in May of 2023.
Why are we doing this now?
Well, one of the reasons we're doing, and you got to kind of go through the whole thing, because with the ESSER funding, we have the ability to stretch the money out through 2024, but we have to approve a plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to do that, we have to bring it to the board and talk about the summer school, but also the breakfast club, which we're starting in the mornings from 7 to 8 o'clock, which I think has helped as far as getting kids here, getting a meeting, and getting them to class. We still have a few laggers, but I think it's been better. Our biggest battle right now is just getting the parents to understand that they need to drop the kids at the door and let them go into school and be part of the breakfast club and eat, and then they can leave because the parents all want to go and sit in there. And so today was the first day we went cold turkey on no parents, and so I had a couple ask me why, and I explained it, and they were okay with it. But our idea with the breakfast club is that we're going to set up and we're going to get the kids breakfast, but we're also going to have tutoring in there. And we'll have most of the parents helping out, and we'll do our temp checks before they walk in. We'll hold the kids there in the cafeteria, 7:45. If they want to leave and go to their classroom, they can, or they can stay there and get more help with tutoring until 8 o'clock.
And do you think that, what was our turnout, is beneficial if we're not operating at a loss pertaining to summer school?
Well,
That's
why we're doing this right now, because right now we're able to pay for summer school for this coming year,
mm-hmm.
okay, and even in 2024,
mm-hmm.
and our breakfast club and our after school program, all out of the ESSER set aside funding.
Right.
And if you don't pay for those things out of the ESSER set aside, we basically have $218,000 sitting there that we can't use, because you can only do certain things out of that set aside. Those are the three things to address learning loss from during COVID that you can legally do with the set-aside money. I mean, there are a couple of other things, but nothing that you can spend that kind of money on.
And do we, the numbers, we were expecting a lot more than we all get. Well, that always happens.
Right. Well, you know, summer school last summer, we had 50-some, it was like 53, 54, 55 kids in the elementary, and we had 35 or 36 in the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
The middle school came the first full 5 days, and then they were done, and we just basically did credit recovery for them. And then the younger kids came, and we did a whole day where they rotated, actually till 12:30, but they rotated in classes and did FIED, art, science, math, reading, phonics, just a whole bunch of different things.
Well, someone asked me, they're under the impression that our eighth graders, if they were hovering around not graduating, that summer school was an option. But at that point, they've already graduated.
Nope.
Is that no saving them at
those
summer
kids
school?
That walked through the graduation ceremony, the 38 all had graduated and had everything done.
Okay.
There were five
that
had to go to summer school,
mm-hmm.
and they were not able to walk through because they didn't earn it. Those five had to go through summer school, complete their classes, get their grades up to passing. And then they got their you want to call them diplomas or certificates of
right. So they didn't walk, though.
They did not walk. Those
okay.
five.
So I think that was a misconception.
If the kids do not complete it, they don't walk.
Right. Okay.
It's been consistent for the last 3 years we've had.
Well, and I thought that was correct, but I just wanted a definitive answer. Okay. Perfect.
So with that, I was just going to say there's a summer school 2023. The forming of the breakfast club for this year and next year, and then Did I forget? Oh, and I did put after school program. And so all of that's on there, and we can use all of those under that umbrella, and we can pay it all out of the set aside funding.
And do we have an amount for that?
$218,000.
Okay.
Yeah, actually a little bit more than that. It's a lot of money. And so when you only have three or four things that you can do, you got to do as much as you can do. So our idea was, let's do what we can to get the kids, get their tails to school on time, and then let's find a way to help them with homework, because many of them, when they go home, amazingly enough, never have homework. And they get to classroom and they've got all this homework they didn't do. So we're trying to get them in there, get them in an organized area, and as everything evolves, we'll get the grades sitting by each other. You know, now today we were able to keep the parents out of there, and so as we keep the parents out, we have much more room for the kids. Sometimes we had parents coming and they'd bring two or three kids that were still at home, and then they're bringing one little kid to the classroom and can't drop them off at the door and say, goodbye, honey, love you. They got to go in and sit down and wait so they can walk them down the hallway to the classroom, because there's no way that kid would ever find their way with all of their classmates that are sitting in there.
Right.
So we just today, we had a couple people that were a little concerned because they weren't able to go in the room, and I explained it, and then they were okay. One of them just likes to check in with the teacher. And it's just, and I said, you know, you can certainly call and we can, you know, anything like that, shoot a quick email. It's just a daily check-in that we had set up last year and it worked well for that student. But our big thing is trying to find ways to plug the gap and then also get some of our people working. I mean, so, you know, over the last 2 years, our hourly people have lost time. Especially our paras, you know, because we've had shortened hours and different times where we didn't use them. So they lost a lot of pay. So like last spring when we increased the hourly pay for the paras to $20 an hour, we're going to come back and we're going to bring an increase in pay for the teachers too. We've been having some discussions about it. Right now it's been $25 an hour forever here. So we'll bring back a figure, and Ms. Trevino and I and Donna will sit down and talk about it and bring it back to you next month, because then we'll start our after-school program after that.
What time is going to be the after-school program?
After-school program, last year we ran it from 3:15 to 4:30. I think we're going to look at going to 4:45 or 5 o'clock. I think that it just seemed like last year was almost a little too tight. So I think if we could get 10 or 15, especially where we had the art classes and different things like that, and I want to make sure we have enough time to help with homework and the tutoring part. That was something that kind of got shortchanged. We probably got about 10 or 15 minutes of tutoring, and then we were doing the special activities, which the kids loved. But I think the homework, we just had too many kids that needed to have better grades.
And for what grades is this?
Well, it's for last year it was only first through eighth grade, but this year, because kinders are going full days, we haven't had that discussion, but it'll be at least first through eighth. It could include kinders this year. We had just have to make sure we have enough workers. Last year we just didn't have that many workers. We had, you know, teachers, but then not that many paras. That was one of the things when we looked at with that $20 an hour, was to get more paras here to help with supervision for playgrounds and all of the different things, helping the teachers. And then we were talking about it with that $218,000, maybe we should raise that teacher pay for those two that after school program and then summer school. So maybe we get a few more teachers that do it, because the ones that we had did a great job. They were very creative, were wonderful in the summer. It'd just be nice to not always have just the same five or six teachers, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, well, Arizona is really low on the totem pole when it comes to salaries, you know.
It is.
And it doesn't trickle down far enough. And actually, if a parent's making 20 and an experienced teacher is making 25, that's pretty...
That's why we're talking about looking at raising it. Ms. Trevino's had some different ideas about what we could set it at to kind of equate it out a little bit more. So we've talked about 30 or 35 or maybe even up to 40, just depending upon. We have to look at it, and one of the things that Donna's doing is running a chart of what we have already spent out of all the different ESSER funds, so we can look at it and say, okay, this is what we think we're going to have. This is how many hours we think we're going to have. So this is what we can pay. So, I mean, I would definitely think that we're probably going to move the teachers up to at least $35 an hour. You know, we moved the paras up $5 an hour. And if we move the teachers up at least 10, maybe 40 is the number. But whatever it is, it'll be better than it was.
Right.
And since we have the money to use, I'd rather spend it and give it to our people than send it back to the federal government.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why we're approving this tonight, because mm-hmm. once we get it submitted, that just buys us a whole nother year to spend the money. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's got to be done by 2023, September 30th. And it's got to be allotted by then and spent by January 1st. Otherwise, we gain that whole other year. So that's what we want to do.
Okay.
I'm taking advantage of it.
Right. And I know it looks weird to say, like, why are you talking about 2024? And why do you want to talk about summer school now? I would forbid. But we have to get that plan in.
Yeah.
And then that will be after we get this passed. Mr. Vigneault can go back tomorrow and input the whole plan that way. And then we've already got it approved. So it's in the minutes.
Okay. You ready to roll?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the summer school for May 2023, a breakfast club and after-school program 22-23 and 23-24 in addition.
A second.
Aye.
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 All righty. Any questions before I start on anything or anything that anybody wanted more than update? All right, so we already kind of talked about the breakfast club. I really think that's been going better. We've still had, I mean, today was a day. Seems like every Monday we just have a backlog of kids, you know, coming. But
coming in late.
We get long lines if they stay over there on the weekend or they're, you know, it depends on where they're at.
What's our number right now?
I was going to ask Miss Elias for an updated number, but she's been gone the last couple of days. Her son had big surgery up in Phoenix, so she's been out. We were approaching 270 the last I heard, and I know we've added a few. I think we're going to be somewhere between 280 and 290, which that's kind of our goal. We shoot, I think when we write it up, we figure 280.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've always been a little bit over the 280, so we always actually have more money coming than we guess. We're at, I think it's 40, let's see, 24 and 21, so 45 first graders.
40. Would you do us a list of the population?
Yeah, well, and that's what I'd like to know. Miss Elias, but we still have some kids in line. We had one kid drop out of kindergarten already today, and we have five that have already started their process, and we have 21 left, and we're only going to 25. So the first four out of them that are going to get their stuff in, and they're all waiting for something from the county or a doctor on their shots or whatever. Because if they have an appointment for their shots or they have an appointment for their guardianship hearing or whatever, we can allow them to come in. But if they're on the docket and waiting for a date...
They were able to enroll by Friday, right?
Anybody now can enroll, yep, as of through Friday. Mm-hmm. And we have 26 kids that have done some semblance of paperwork. 21 have completed it. 22, but the one dropped today.
But we have to also realize that if somebody comes in from in district, we have to take them.
You do, unless you do not have a classroom for them.
I thought that technically we had to take them in district.
Once you set it, once you have, like, we have one first grade, one kindergarten class,
mm-hmm.
and that has been set at 25.
And where are we at?
We're at 21 with five kids with paperwork in
pending
process.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, I mean, if a kid from in-district comes in and you've got three open enrollments, then you take the in-district
That's
first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The problem with the in-district is there's a lot of ways to look at the in-district, too.
Right, yeah.
I mean, so there are a lot of our in-districts that are kind of like open enrollments.
Ins and outs.
So you know what I mean? So I try to be as smart with that, but that's where we have all of those first graders. We have, because you have, what do you have, 21 now? Yeah, so.
First grader?
Yeah. We're at 44
Which is our
or 45 first graders. And then we're at 27 or 28 second graders. We're at almost 40 third graders. We're at 38 or 39 fourth graders. We're at 28 fifth graders. We got really solid, nice numbers. A couple of big bumps, but and then in the middle school, we're sitting at 33, 31, and 23 or 24 eighth graders. I can't remember. It's a small eighth grade compared to last year. Last year we had the 42.
And our kinder was?
Kinder right now, 21.
Which is exactly what our board had adopted prior, was the 21. We don't have, it's not locked in.
Right.
At that level especially, I think it's pretty important to kind of stick with that number. They need
Well, what we did is we have a full-time para in there all the time now, not just part-time helping when needed. It's full-time para for the full day. And when we looked at all the numbers and we talked about it, 25 was the number we came up with that would work the best.
Mm-hmm.
So we said we'd stay at that number and we won't go over that number. And I think when you look around us, there are plenty of them that go high, quite a bit higher than third.
Oh, yeah.
up to 30 anyway.
Well, I was just saying what we'd adopted.
Right,
for our
right.
Board.
Well, and that's
and
our...
And it's not locked in, I'm
that's
saying.
That's our goal.
You don't have any choice
right.
if they come, you know. It's got to be reasonable.
Yeah, right. So... You know, and then, of course, when we're looking at all the different things, we're also looking at the funding that we have and trying to make sure that we're set always at least 3 years out, you know, so that there's not going to be a blip where all of a sudden, you know, we're going to have a massive flood of having to have, you know, get rid of a bunch of people or anything. I think
some
right
of the things
now,
trickle in for months, though.
Oh, know, no, I know, but I meant teachers as far as having to cut anybody. I don't see... Right now, the way we have everything set, I think, I believe we're in good shape, unless something happens to the funding, which you never know. But, I mean, if nothing goes haywire there, we should be in good shape for at least 3 years. You know, much, much better than when we, I mean, that first year when I, what did we carry over? Not even 40,000 maybe?
Yeah.
You know, so we're pretty solid there. Yeah. But I did want to just mention about the Breakfast Club, the whole idea about getting everybody here, being able to start our classes, you know, at 8 or a couple minutes after 8. First thing they're doing in the morning is they, well, depending upon what level, but they have morning meetings and get the kids together and they do their pledge and then they do their minute of silence. They have to have at least 60 and a half seconds of silence each day after the pledge.
That's nice.
That's the new law in Arizona. And,
really?
You know, we had to coach our staff so that they don't suggest what that moment of silence is for.
Right.
It's just a moment of silence and the kids can, whatever they want to do that's silent, they can do it. Think about whatever, et cetera.
Even just like 1 minute to be silent,
just
kind
did.
Of a...
It was brand new this year.
Do you know what the purpose is behind it?
You mean like a hidden
It was like... The agenda was to somehow find a way to allow prayer into the classroom without saying, you can pray.
Oh, right.
That was the behind-the-scenes push for it. Mm-hmm. So that's why they said it has to be at least a minute long, but it's a moment of silence.
I think it's good just for them to be still for a minute.
Oh, I know. I mean, you know, for me, at my age, I probably would
not
easily go for 5 minutes. A lot of things going through my mind.
Snoring?
And then start snoring. But, you know, but yeah, no, it... So it, I don't know. Nobody's had anything where they've said any. It's been bad. Nobody's come back with anything that way. We have. It really, honestly, has been better with kids coming this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you have the food and you say it's from 7 to 8, and at 8 o'clock, you know, the only thing that you can get is a muffin or whatever we serve that you can inhale as you sit there and drink a quick milk and go right to class. You don't get to take your time, bring the food in, and you know the chow train. I think that's helped some.
I've been taking advantage of everything. 7:30, I drop him off, and then he's excited too.
Oh yeah,
and run in
oh,
here
yeah.
and eat before he goes to class.
Yeah. It's so funny because you know if you ever saw that Ernesto come in, he was like, and then you got little Alberto, and he's like, "Hey, where's the food, man? I'm ready. Where's school? Let's go, man. Let's go." You know, he's just like he's got a quarter stuck in his nickel slot, and he's just ready to go. He's all excited. So, yeah, no, it was so funny last year, and I remember because Ernie was walking him in one day, and Ernie goes, "Yeah, I don't know. He's so excited about school. I don't care. I don't know where he gets it." It's like, you know, when the kids are young and they're excited, they want to be there. It's like those
and
are
that's
the kids
great,
that, yeah.
Isn't it? They're so exuberant.
So then I did have one other thing. Probably a couple, but one other thing I wanted to mention to you guys, and that one sheet that I gave you, it's a single sheet. Just so you guys understand with the ELL program, that first year that I came, they changed it from a four-hour program to a two-hour program, and you could kind of choose what you wanted to do. And if you see over here on the side, there are four kind of titles of the programs. The titles don't always tell you exactly what that program is. We've got a pull-out program, a two-hour program, a 50-50 program, and then a newcomer program, okay? And you can choose which one of these programs you want to run. We basically go 50 to 60 minutes of pull-out targeted intervention, and then we do 50 to 60 minutes of in-class intervention.
Integrated.
It's in the classroom, and the teachers are doing things. Generally, it's just the classroom teachers and doing things to help the kids with expanding their vocabulary and all that kind of stuff. So this is just what comes from the state that allows us to. Do you want to hit somebody?
No,
with
my pen died.
Oh, okay.
But I'll survive.
Oh, right. Here. I've already got everything down except for the. Oh, I have another one.
Yeah, she'd have gone.
All right. So anyway, I just thought you guys might want to do that because sometimes I'm talking about ELL and what we do, and so you might wonder why the heck are we doing that, or you know, how come I heard somebody's doing something different. You choose the SEI model and then you follow it, and so then if you remember 2 years ago, we hired the two ELL teachers, and so we hit the elementary with one and the middle school with the other, and all that. So that's what we do, and I can honestly say we saw a great difference last year, and I really think we'll see even more of a difference this year. We had a lot of kids pass that, especially in the upper grades, that had never had. We were running where we had one junior high kid pass 2 years in a row. So I know last year when we had about 7 or 8 that passed from 5th grade to 8th grade, that our numbers were. And we had a lot of them right there. I think we had like 6 or 7 kids within a couple of points of passing out.
Hmm.
So it was good. So this is just a little basic info.
Yeah,
I just thought it was good for you guys to get. We are going to be visited by our auditor next Tuesday morning. So he'll be here. He's done with most of the audit, but he'll be here to visit for a while and go through a couple of things.
Did he bring his crew? Or?
No. It's a long story.
Oh, okay.
In the 3 years that we've had Dobridge, this is our 4th year. We've had different people almost each year and sometimes changing in the middle of the year that they're auditing. And so they have been sold out to another company. It's CWD or CDW or CDWL or something like that. I don't know. It's 3 or 4. It's an acronym. But anyway, they've been sold out, and so they have our contract for 1 more year. And maybe it'll be better next year. Maybe we'll – but we had a guy who just – I just wasn't very impressed with it. I didn't think he was that good of an auditor. And, you know, he would come in and talk to you and, oh, everything looks good, don't find anything, and then send you back a report and you got 35 things on the report. It's like, where the heck did they all come from? You just met with me in the office and said, there are 7 or 8 things that we need to clean up, but it's getting way better.
That's weird.
And then send, yeah. So
they're not communicating like Heinfeld did. Really.
No, they're not. So when we get a chance, we'll open it up again. And I've kind of been listening out there. There's another individual that does it around the area that does some of the schools that's very good, and then we got Heinfeld, and so there's other to go out and get new bids. And one of the people that we had previously that I wasn't that fond of, but he's starting his own business, so we'll have probably about 4 or 5 bids that we can look at next time. So we'll do that. We have 1 more year left on this contract, I don't think there's a way to get out of it right now because we can't show.
Did you express your discontent about that?
That was Donna did that at a meeting with him at ASBO, and she let him know that we weren't very happy.
Oh, good.
So
the communication is the biggest part of the whole game.
Well, and you know, whenever you when you change your auditor and the auditing staff twice in 1 year, there's something wrong with
right.
the company.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt.
So that was part of our problem. The other thing I guess I would say is one of the things we looked at and we already are in the process of fixing is that because Donna pays the bills, we've taken the credit card with Donna's name and we're moving that to Kristen's name. Because Kristen does all the ordering.
Yeah.
And they said that if Donna has a credit card in her name and she pays the bills, that's not a good combination. You should have somebody with the credit card in their name doing the ordering, someone else paying the bills.
But a lot of times you don't have that luxury.
Exactly.
When you have
that's
ridiculous.
But now we do. So
we've never done that.
Right. That's why we're just going to change it now. And that's one less thing that they can give us as a finding.
Yeah.
So, so we're cleaning that up. First week of school went really good. Today was the first day I saw any kids come in that maybe could have been behaving a little bit better, but it was pretty minor stuff that they came in for. A couple of boys that wanted the attention of the girls more than anything. So, other than that, no, it's been pretty good. Ms. Trevino's been working on helping clean up a lot of the federal grants. I think we've got most of them in pretty good shape. Now she's going to start working on the ESSER so that we have everything setting there so that we know exactly what we have and what we can spend it on. And she's very good at the wording with the grants because they have to be worded in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a big help. So for that, I would say that way I think everything's gone well. Our lunch program's been, it's run fine. I haven't heard any issues from parents or anybody. People are very happy that they don't have to fill up the paperwork and nobody has to pay for the meals. So that was, they were happy about that.
I was talking about that. Can we go double check on the expiration dates of the food?
And they just did that.
We just did.
Yeah.
Okay. We just did, actually. That was one of the things I brought up, I think, at the last meeting was we threw out
My best guess
would be about $6,000 or $7,000 worth of food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I have asked to keep an eye on the milk, especially. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when the milk comes in, if they get because they only deliver milk once a week to us, and they deliver milk twice a week to Bisbee, and it's the same company. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they couldn't bring some of our milk. And then bring the rest of our milk. I don't know why that is, but they deliver to Bisbee on different days than they deliver to us. Mm-hmm. And
seems like maybe
so.
Well,
what has happened in the past is if we had a large amount of milk, sometimes it's frozen and then thawed. You know, well, it's still good. I mean, I've had that before where I had a frozen milk, and you know, it's fine to drink. But there's when you go to the store, there's a sell by and usually a use by on things. And so sell by is one date and then use by is another date. And even though the use by is later, if people see whatever. So there are a lot of times where it'll say it says August 9th today. But it's still good for, they say, up to 3 to 5 days.
I know,
but
right.
as soon as if it's been cooled and correctly taken care of and not been left out, and, you know, all those things, as soon as a kid sees it says August 8th and it's August 9th, they don't want it. And I don't blame them. I understand. I get it. I mean, I was picky when I was young. Now, if it's not coming out in chunks, it's fine. If it comes out in chunks, it's cottage cheese, so what the heck, you know? I mean, but that's kind of, and I do understand it. And then, you know, the policy that this, and I didn't think we were right, and I was wrong. I think it surprised Donna also. But when we got audited by the state food last year, what they said everybody does is they have, at the end, they have a big bowl with ice, and if you don't want your milk, you just put your milk right in there. But you have to walk through the line, get your meal, and then if you're not going to drink your meal, you can put it in the ice. I didn't think that was right. I thought as soon as the kid walks away, they take the milk, that's gone. Give it to somebody else.
Right.
I don't care.
It doesn't make any sense because then, you know, yeah, you put it back, but let's say it does. Nobody takes it. You still got to throw it away, right?
Well, what the lady told us is, she said if you put it on ice and it stayed on ice and you put it back, it's fine. To me, that's not right. To me, we've already sold that milk. We're going to get repaid for that milk already.
Double dipping pen up there.
You know, so I believe once it goes through, it's just like if Dawn comes and eats and all she wanted was the breadstick. And you like the spaghetti and the grapes. And I know spaghetti, grapes, and breadstick go together because for the last 4 years, that's the one meal my custodians hated because the grapes ended up all over the floor. You know. But if you give it to Mr. Almost to eat, who cares?
Right,
your family is the one that paid for it or the state paid for it for all of us to eat. So who cares if he eats your spaghetti? If you got your breadstick, that's all you wanted, maybe he gave you some of his
breadstick. Better than going to the garbage.
Right. Okay. Otherwise, it's going to get thrown away. So I don't, but I've had people who get really excited if kids give somebody else the meal. And it's like, to me, I don't see why that's a big deal. And that milk that we've already charged, to me, that's gone. That should never go back in the cart. I've never, in the other states I was at, that was not okay.
Right.
But here in Arizona, the lady that audited us last year said,
that
doesn't mean
if they're putting it back on ice that it's free for somebody else.
It is, but right. She said, you can just put it right back in and serve it. If it was put on ice right away, it's okay. And see, I don't think that's right. I just think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, just ethically, we've already sold it.
You hate to see food or milk being wasted. Americans, we waste a lot of food.
Well, I know, like, one good thing that we did have when we had the grab-and-go meals and things was the kids got a bag, and if they had a fruit in there mm-hmm. and they didn't want it for breakfast, they could put it, all the teachers had a little bin,
mm-hmm.
put your apple or plum or orange or whatever, and then when they had their afternoon, they could have a snack. They all ate.
Available.
They just took whatever was in the big bin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so our goal is to get them to class, be done eating, and be able to move on. And I said we were going to be done at 5:45, so I've been talking too much.
So do you have a tentative time or date for next meeting?
Next meeting, the date should, I think the second Tuesday works.
It'll be the 13th.
Okay,
the 13th.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if you guys had something going. Just getting tentative. Here. Okay.
13th at 5:15 in the library. Sounds like we're playing flute.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Brisa, you got any questions? Are you still awake?
Wake up.
Hello?
Have you got any questions?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Okay.
The 13th at 5:15.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting at 18:08.
18:08. Second.
Aye.
Aye. I'm used to it.
See, we got that's what we got on the clock up there.
I just did it to because I know Brisa hates that.
Whatever.
She kind of slept through it.
I heard it. I don't think it's.